As we approach the November 3rd election, Dr. William R. Glaze has written a pamphlet titled Politics and the Bible to help guide your voting decisions. For a donation in any amount, we will gladly send you a copy. Send your donation and request to Anchored in Jesus Ministries, P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. If you prefer to make your contribution electronically, go to www.anchoredinjesus.org, click the donate button, and request Politics and the Bible. Please be sure to provide your full contact information and allow 2 weeks to receive the pamphlet. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. My name is Sonia Hall. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Intimacy with God through Meditation. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Intimacy with God through Meditation.
People say, Pastor, man, I used your notes on my job for Bible study. Your pastor, I was able to pull your notes back up during the week and it helped me out with a situation I was dealing with. That's why I print the notes out, because I want people to leave far beyond here. But we need to realize that even if we just study the word and walk away, that we haven't connected necessarily with God. But we need to be like the bee. Do you get a verse? Are you like that bee? What does a bee do? Bzzz. And then it just sits there. See, when you're searching the word, you're like the bee buzzing around, right? And then you find a place to land. And then you sit there. And you just soak it in. And you meditate on it. And you think about it. And you realize what it means to you. If we are going to meditate, one object of meditation must be the Word of God. The second object of meditation has to be the works of God. Look at Psalm 77. Psalm 77. In Psalm 77, verse 11, he says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works and will talk of thy doing. What was the psalmist going to meditate on? The psalmist was going to meditate on the works of God. Think about how I was in a situation and God brought me out. Praise God for Andy and Minerva and Alea and the testimony that they gave this morning. See, when they go to their meditation time and they meditate on the works of God, they have something to meditate on. How did God brought them through a situation? And they can meditate on the works of God and see how they know that it was the hand of God at work in their situation, and they just sit back in. Now, and the beautiful thing is if you grab a verse and couple that verse with the works, oh, my goodness. Oh, then you just sit back there. Lord, you are so good. You know, one of the works that I meditate on and it just gets in my soul and it just touches my spirit is when I think of the fact that God saved me. And I think of who I was and what I was into and what I was doing, and that God would love me enough to send his son to die on the cross for my sin. And I sometimes just sit back and I'll just think about that. And I'll think about that night over there in Turtle Creek when it was raining and the thundering and lightning, and I went up to the altar in that church and I bowed down and I gave my life to Christ, and how that when I got up from that place and went outside, even though it was thundering and lightning, that it seemed like the sun was shining. And sometimes I'll just sit back and meditate on that, on the works of God, and just throw that over in my mind and just roll it back and forth. And contemplate on that in the presence of God, in communion with God. And God just takes me to a deeper level with him. We need to meditate on the word of God. We need to meditate on the works of God. Oh, and I love this one here. We need to meditate on the worth of God. Is God worth anything to you? You might say, a Bible, $20. A hymn book, $25. The help of God, priceless. Priceless. The psalmist said in Psalm 19 and verse 10 that God's words are more precious than gold. That you can't put a price on what God does for us. And so if when we meditate, you know, we need to give God some worth in our life. When you think about what is worship, you know what worship is? It's worth-ship. It means that you are giving something worth. And when you worship, you are giving God worth. You are saying, Lord, you mean something to me. Lord, I thank you for da-da-da-da-da-da. Because it was so valuable for me. That, Lord, if you hadn't have been there, I don't know what I would have done. Lord, if you hadn't have been there, I don't know how I would have made it through. Lord, you mean the world to me. Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my heart, my all. He's worth something. He's worth something. The psalmist realized that. Turn to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. The psalmist realized that God was worth something to him. Psalm 63. Verse 6 and 7, he says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on the things in the night watches. Why did he meditate? What did he meditate on? He said, because you have been my help. You have been my help. The bank wasn't my help. My relatives wasn't my help. My job wasn't my help. Lord, you have been my help, and I'm going to meditate on you, and I'm going to meditate on the value that you have in my life and the worth that you are to me. Lord, that you are priceless to me. Lord, you are worth more than anything else that this world can afford to give. What do you meditate on? You meditate on the Word of God. Now, see, you know, you can get into other forms of meditation and meditate on a lot of other things. But in biblical meditation, you meditate on the Word of God. You meditate on the works of God. And you meditate on the worth of God. We look at now the method of meditation. The method of meditation. And the first method is what is known as rumination. And the second method is analyzation. What is rumination? We see rumination in Psalm 1 and verse 2. And it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's rumination. What is rumination? I've shared the illustration before, but rumination is basically when a cow begins to chew grass, and that cow chews the grass, and that's the same word that's reflected there in Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2, meditate, chews the grass, gets the nutrients out of it, swallows it, keeps it in one of its stomachs, and at a later time, brings it back up and chews on it again. Getting every ounce of nutrient and nutrition out of that grass. Chewing it over and over and over again. Swallowing it, holding it in the stomach, and bringing it back up again. That's rumination. And if we're going to meditate properly, we need to learn how to ruminate in the Word of God. We need to learn how to take God, his word, his works, his worth. We need to learn how to chew on it, swallow it, bring it back up again. Chew on it some more, swallow it, and bring it back up again. That during our devotion time, that there ought to be some time set apart for rumination. Even if it's just a minute, If it's just 5 minutes, connect with God in rumination. Chew on something that he's given you. I remember last week I was in my devotion time. And the Lord spoke to my heart and I just began to chew on something. And God clearly spoke to me. And he said, Bill, I want to use you. And I have so much more that I want to do to you and through you. And I began to just ruminate on what God was sharing with me and what that meant and how that was to work out in my life. That's when you know you've connected. That's when you know that you're meditating, when you've made that connection in rumination. But not only is there rumination, but there is analyzation. And analyzation is when you take that truth, like a jeweler would take a diamond, and you look at it, and it sparkles. And you study it from this side. You turn it around and study it from this side. You flip it over and study it from this side. And you analyze. What is this saying? What is God speaking to my heart about? And as I was thinking about this analyzation, I put something together to help us be able to analyze and ruminate. Look at Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Say I'm reading in my devotion, where I heard a sermon, somebody preached a sermon, and it dealt with Psalm 27. And it talked about the Lord is my light. If you'll go ahead to that next slide. The Lord is my light. So what is the method for meditation? First, you discover a truth. Psalm 27. In verse 1, the Lord is my light. I discover the truth. All right? The second thing that you do is you analyze that truth from every angle. You think about each truth over and over again. Then you think of a picture to illustrate that truth. And then you bring an application to your mind. And then you offer up an expression of intimacy. So if we could do this together. Some of you might not want to do it, and some of you might want to do it. But as I'm sharing, if you want to close your eyes, then that's fine. If you want to keep them open because you don't trust the pastor, then that's fine too. But the truth is in Psalm 27, in verse 1. The Lord is my light. Lord, I want to analyze this truth from every angle. Lord, as I hold it up on one side, I see that you are my light in darkness. When I go through the dark periods of my life, Lord, you are my light. Lord, you have brought me through a sinful way, and you have shown your light at the end of the tunnel. Lord, sometimes I find myself doing wrong, and sin comes in my life. Lord, as I analyze this truth that you are my light, I realize, Lord, that you shine light on my sin and you magnify it in my life so that I can deal with it. Lord, you are the light that brings joy to me. When my heart is sad, you make me glad. Lord, you are the light. And Lord, I just want to look at you from every angle that I can think of about you being my light. And then, Lord, I think of myself as a ship that's out in the sea. Lord, I'm being tossed. The waves are coming over me. Lord, I'm just wandering aimlessly at sea. In the dark of the night, there's nothing else around me. I can only see as far as the end of this raft that I'm on. Lord, I'm pedaling mercilessly, just wandering out here in the middle of the ocean. And Lord, all of a sudden, in the distance, I see a lighthouse. And I begin to sweep my arms to take me in a direction toward the lighthouse. And Lord, as I get close to the lighthouse, I begin to see all the lights on the shoreline. And Lord, you have taken me out of darkness, and you have led me, Lord, to the light. And Lord, I can remember in my life one time when my car broke down in the middle of the night. And Lord, it seemed like I was out there all by myself. But Lord, your light came, and your light sat beside me, and your light assured me that everything is going to be all right. And now, Lord, in an expression of love and gratitude and admiration, Lord, I lift my hands to you and I worship you. Lord, I fold my hands and bow my head and I worship you. Lord, I lift my palms up toward heaven and I adore you. And I thank you, Father, for being my light. In Jesus' name. That's what it means to meditate. That's what it means. I don't know about you, but just as I went through that, I felt the connection with God, and I saw God in different ways. And what did I do? Over and over again, I kept meditating on what? The truth that God is light. I looked at the light from different positions. I gave an example to myself of what it means to be lost in darkness and then see the light. And then I gave an example of how I can apply that in my life. And then there was an expression. Some people, if I could raise both hands, I would. Some people, Lord, you are my light. Some people, Lord, you are my light. Some people, Lord, you are my light. As we begin to do those things, we connect with God. And that is the essence of meditation. And God's people have lost it. Biblical meditation. And this is a way for this whole series that we've been talking about, becoming intimate with God. This is a way for us to really connect with Him. It's through meditation. And what is the end result, or what is the goal of meditation? It's two things. It's communion with God and union with God. Communion with God and union with God. That when we have meditated properly, oh, hallelujah. If you will take what I have shared with you today, and I know sometimes, you know, there's people around us, and, you know, we can't do it sometimes here like we want to, but I guarantee you, just take the outline and the points of the outline tomorrow morning in your devotion time, 2 minutes, and just do what I told you to do. You will have communion with God, and you will have union with God. As we think about meditation, what are some of the goals, or what's one of the goals in all meditation? It is to kind of shut down the things that are around you and become one with the universe, to become one with the cosmic mind. Well, in biblical meditation, our goal is to commune and become one with God. Bible says, Exodus 33, verse 11, and the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. That's communion. That's communion. What does it mean? Does it mean that God spoke in a voice? Well, I mean, to Moses, he did speak in a voice. But is that going to be the same reality for us? No. You know what it's going to mean for us? It means that our mind begins to think the thoughts of God's heart. It means that we begin to understand God's way. We begin to become one with God, not in the sense, you know, there's the pantheism. If you study theology, there's pantheism that says all is in God and God is in everything. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about becoming one with God through your purpose in life. Becoming one with God through thinking his thoughts. Becoming one with God through feeling the touch of his hand in your life. That's what it means to become one with God. There's union and there is communion, that we fellowship with him. Just like a friend fellowships with another friend. Think of somebody that you enjoy being with, somebody you enjoy sharing time with, and how that you get excited as you talk, and then you back down the conversation and you commune at another level. But there's this communion that's going back and forth. And so it is with God. When you are meditating, you are communing with the Heavenly Father. See, one of the things that I asked God to help me to do was to, Lord, please help me to make this simple so that people can understand it. I don't want anybody to think that this is something that's way out there that we can't do, but it's right here. And we can meditate and we can become intimate with God. And I guarantee you, because I just as I put this together, I just began to think about some of the things that are true in my life when I've connected with God. And then I did a bunch of reading. You know, I've done probably more reading for this series than I've done in a lot of other series. I've just done a lot of reading on people who had intimate relationships with God. And as I began to look at some things, I began to see some patterns and some characteristics that were true in their life. And as I began to practice these things for myself, man, it just became so real. This whole idea of intimacy with God. And sometimes it's like the song said in the garden. It said that, you know, I stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, and he bids me go. Sometimes it's so good that I don't want to leave. I mean, I just get so raptured, and I mean, it just feels so good to be in communion with God. It feels so good to be intimate with God. And I know we don't base our relationship on feeling. I understand that. But I believe that just being in that, what do the baseball players call it? You know, when you get up there to bat and you hit the ball right on the right place, the sweet spot. The sweet spot. You know, just being in that sweet spot with God. You know, just it's wonderful. It's beautiful. And then, you know, you leave there, and then you got to go deal with knuckleheads, right? But the thing that you know is that you were there. That you were there. And something from that time should just kind of be with you as you continue on throughout your day. Intimacy through meditation. I encourage you. And again, keep in mind, I think the most essential thing is for us to keep in mind as we practice biblical meditation is on the Word of God, the works of God, and the worth of God. If you will focus on those three things, man, God will take you to a level that many of you have never been before. I'm looking forward to hearing some testimonies. You know, email me with your testimony. It don't have to be a long email, just... Yo, Pastor, yeah, I connected with God. Praise Him. Praise Him.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Biblical Meditation. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Intimacy with God Through Meditation, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Intimacy with God Through Meditation. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Intimacy with God Through Meditation. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.